This is Marty Shankman. I'm going to be doing a LISI webinar with Rebecca Provder, a matrimonial attorney, on planning for matrimonial issues after the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. The 2017 Tax Act, as most of you probably know, if not all of you, changed the taxation of alimony. The impact is that for any divorce after 2018, you will have no deduction for the payor of alimony and similarly no income reported by the payee. This could have profound impact on divorces. I'm going to be joined with a matrimonial partner, colleague rather, so that we can discuss how this impacts planning. For any clients that have a matrimonial matter in process right now, divorce, renegotiation of a pre or post-nup, this could be critical. We're also going to talk about a whole range of other issues. So, for example, one of the big problems is how will a court view someone coming in because of the changes of the Tax Act and wanting to renegotiate an agreement? Will it constitute a sufficient change circumstance that a court would reopen a matrimonial case? So if somebody, for example, were in the home relocation business and their business is hammered because of the changes that the law made that are so harmful to residential real estate, including restrictions on mortgage interest, on property tax, assault limitation, moving expenses, and so on, what will it take to renegotiate that? That's another whole facet to the impact of the tax law than just the taxation of alimony. There's a whole range of other issues we're going to also try to address. 529 plans, the rules are fundamentally changed in permitting distributions for secondary and elementary school. How might that affect matrimonial matters? Personal exemptions are gone. That's something that many clients negotiated for express economic offsets or interests in a matrimonial agreement. What happens with that? Alimony trusts have been eliminated. That's something that has been a very useful tool with closely held businesses and trying to secure the payee spouse without jeopardizing an interest in a closely held business. What happens now? Alimony versus property settlements. There were rules and front-loading rules. What happens to those under the current circumstances? Alimony versus child support. How might that change? So the ripple effects of the 2017 Act go far beyond the mere fact that alimony won't be deductible post 2018, and we're going to try to talk about a whole range of those issues and again address them not only from an estate and tax perspective but from a matrimonial perspective as well, which is critical to making the advice practical. So please join us. I think it'll be a very valuable seminar.
Hello, this is Larry Brody. I wanted to tell you about the webinar I'm doing on Friday, the 23rd of February, entitled The Income Tax Treatment of Life Insurance Policies. We're going to cover what I think are the most important income tax issues raised by owning life insurance policies. We'll begin with a definition of what a life insurance policy is for federal tax purposes. And then we'll look closely at the definition of a subcategory of life insurance policies called modified endowment contracts, or MECs. And we'll look at the special income tax consequences of owning a MEC. We'll look at the taxation of the inside buildup of life insurance policies. And again, we'll spend a little time looking at the difference between traditional life insurance policies and MECs. We'll look at the taxation of policy dividends in dividend-paying policies. We'll look at loans, withdrawals, surrenders, lapses, and sales of policies. And again, we'll focus both on traditional life insurance policies and the special rules that apply to loans, withdrawals, surrenders, or lapses of modified endowment contracts. We'll look at the taxation of life insurance death benefits, both the general rule and the important exceptions to the general rule, especially the transfer for value exception under Section 101A2. We'll look at the exceptions to that rule, which really drive the rule, We'll look at employer-owned insurance policies under Section 101J. And then finally, we'll look at non-taxable exchanges of policies under Section 1035. We'll look at the general rule, the so-called boot exception, and then we'll end by looking at the other tax consequences of Section 1035 exchanges under some of the grandfathered provisions for policies under either the code or regulations.
Hi, this is Alan Gassman, and I am very excited to invite you to our presentation entitled 199A Challenges and Strategies, A Deeper Dive. This is an opportunity for Marty Shankman and I to interact and go through a number of really important considerations and very effective planning strategies that can be used with your 199A planning. We're also going to talk about how this can interact or compare with your 1202 C corporation planning, how to handle wage and employee leasing questions, how to handle common paymaster situations, how to plan for depreciable assets and qualified property planning, what a trade or business is considered to be versus a hobby or an inactive activity, how the transfer pricing and fair market value and arm's length rules are going to apply, what the Achilles heel will be for a lot of this planning, and how to use electing small business trusts, qualified subchapter S trusts, grantor trusts, non-grantor trusts, and just about everything else under the sun in the 199A area. Please feel free to email me at agassman@gassmanpa.com with any questions or any help you need in this area, and we will make sure to cover it. We're going to be showing you a lot of new charts and a lot of new client planning friendly charts that you can also make use of in your practice. Thank you very much. Hi, this is Alan Gassman, and I am very excited to invite you to our presentation entitled 199A Challenges and Strategies, A Deeper Dive. This is an opportunity for Marty Shankman and I to interact and go through a number of really important considerations and very effective planning strategies that can be used with your 199A planning. We're also going to talk about how this can interact or compare with your 1202 C corporation planning, how to handle wage and employee leasing questions, how to handle common paymaster situations, how to plan for depreciable assets and qualified property planning, what a trade or business is considered to be versus a hobby or an inactive activity, how the transfer pricing and fair market value and arm's length rules are going to apply, what the Achilles heel will be for a lot of this planning, and how to use electing small business trusts, qualified subchapter S trusts, grantor trusts, non-grantor trusts, and just about everything else under the sun in the 199A area. Please feel free to email me at agassman@gassmanpa.com with any questions or any help you need in this area, and we will make sure to cover it. We're going to be showing you a lot of new charts and a lot of new client planning friendly charts that you can also make use of in your practice. Thank you very much.